For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
6 days from today, Ravens open their NFL season, against Kansas City. Bob, Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw here to talk about that and more as the roster is set for now from the Baltimore Banner. Let's welcome back to the program, as we do every Friday, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. How you feeling today?
Oh, morning, guys. It's great to have football back in our lives. College football last night was great. Looking forward to Thursday night. Life is good, man.
Well, we need the Orioles to get hot, and that's all that matters, too. And you please praise Black Sabbath. I know you love big old Sabbath fan there, that Jonas Schaefer. But the Ravens 53-man roster versus the 53-man roster that lost in the AFC Championship game, which one is stronger to you?
I think on paper it's got to be last year's roster. I mean, you know, to not even – going over the most important part of the roster, which is the offensive line, you know, obviously outside of Lamar, you just look at what the kind of depth that last year's team had. It was pretty absurd. I mean, you know, obviously PFF is not the be-all, end-all gospel of player evaluation, but I thought it was interesting just kind of looking back at last year and, you know, trying to figure out reasons why or why not this Ravens team might, you know, have a Super Bowl breakthrough up on the Baltimore Banner right now. They had 13 players who PFF graded out as, like, above-average contributors. That was four more than the Browns. That was just on defense. So 13 guys, like, with above-average 70 grades on defense. That was more than the Browns had. They had just nine. That was more than the Steelers had. They had just nine. And those were both, like, top six defenses. So that is just an absurd level of depth. And you look at who they lost this offseason, G.W. Clowney, Patrick Queen, Geno Stone. Those are, you know, substantial losses. And the Ravens might have the guys in the building who one day will be as good as those guys, but to expect them to be as good as the 2023 version, I think is probably asking a little bit too much.
Jonas, I think one of the most important guys for the Ravens on defense, Oway has got to, he's got to play like he played in training camp, and he's got to produce like Clowney produced. Otherwise, then a lot of pressure gets on Zach Orr.
Yeah, and on Justin Matabike and Travis Jones and the interior. And it's more realistic to expect the heavy lifting to be done by that, you know, outside linebacker group in the NFL. That's just the way it is, you know. I keep on forgetting that Matabike led the team in sacks last year because it's so abnormal for an interior presence to be the team leader in sacks. But I think back, Vinny, to just how good Adape was in week one last year before that ankle injury. And obviously you take that with maybe not just one grain of salt, but a couple grains of salt, because that Texans offensive line throughout much of last year was just absolute trash. But he was so unbelievably good, just hard to block, setting the edge in the run, chasing down C.J. Stroud. So if you can get, you know, a clean bill of health for Oway, if he can be the kind of guy who's marrying that physical freakishness with all the fine-tuning technically that Chuck Smith has given him, You know, I think you have every reason to believe that this could be a double-digit sack season for him.
Jonas, I mean, whenever anybody asks me about what do you think of the Ravens, I said it's going to be how good the offensive line is. I mean, and I still believe that. And I think, you know, you were there listening to Eric yesterday. And Eric, you know, Eric, I can't wait to see how these guys are going to be in the future and stuff. I mean, and Harbs kind of says the same thing. They know that there is going to be some growing pains. And the thing that I think is it's going to hurt them in the run game big time.
I know. Yeah. And it's going to make that investment in Derek Queen look awfully shaky. I mean, I think one of the interesting things about Derek Henry, and maybe this is just like a weird quirk of how his Tennessee career played out, but like he has not been good historically in September and October. He is a guy who takes some time to get going. So you combine that potential slow startiness with the fact that this line with three starters was not blowing teams off the ball in the preseason. You're asking so much of Lamar Jackson to help this offensive line, to help Derrick Henry. I mean, Vinny, can you think of like a team in the league, current or present, who is asking more of their quarterback to help their offensive line than Lamar is right now? I mean, just the idea that he is fast enough as a scrambler to kind of keep those edge rushers from pinning their ears back, but also to possibly involved enough in the run game that he's going to help with those box counts and, you know, those defender counts that he can maybe give Derrick Henry some more of the running lanes that he wasn't getting in Tennessee. It's just, we don't know if Lamar is even kind of into that style of running anymore. You know, obviously he lost weight, but he's always been, I'm a quarterback. And maybe he pushes back at, you know, the Ravens kind of having to lean more into that 2019 era of read option stuff because he just doesn't feel like that should be a part of his game anymore.
The thing that concerns me, Jonas, and I'm sure it does you, I mean, those the three offense, Voorhees and Falele and Rosengarten, and I'm guessing Rosengarten is going to start or he's going to alternate with McCary, but so be it. But those guys played a ton in all three preseason games, and they didn't play against any starters, and they struggled in every one of those games, and the run game sucked.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add that aside from the fact that this is a Chiefs team that can be some ass kickers up front. You know, it was
Jones and Karloftis. You know, I mean, they're studs.
Even Mike Dana too. You know, in the run game. I mean, I don't know. You know, if you went back and looked at the all 22 from last year, Benny, but it's not just the fact that this Chiefs team was second in the NFL in sacks last year. I think they were number one in sack rate. But you go back and look at that game against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. Obviously, you know, Tyler Linderbaum wasn't at his best, and Kevin Beitler's knee was still pretty bulky. But every other play, it's an offensive lineman, I mean, with his butt on the ground. I mean, they just got worked up front. And I know John Harbaugh and Todd Monken took a lot of you-know-what this offseason for giving up the run game. But, you know, going back recently and looking at just those 6 to 8 design runs for the Ravens, there was nowhere to run. The one long run that Lamar had was like an unbalanced line where they kind of quick snapped it and the Chiefs weren't set. So if you are saying that is a downgrade from that offensive line, and this Chiefs defensive line might be even stronger just with some of the guys that they were missing in that game, it could be really, really tough sledding for the Ravens.
And I think another big thing in this game, or else at least at the beginning of the season, they need to get Bateman off quick. You know, I think he needs to have a good game versus the Chiefs for his confidence, for Lamar's confidence, you know, just to get him going. And if he could have a game Thursday night, 5-6 catches, you know, 60-70 yards and make, you know, like he did that day in practice, just like if he could be that guy in practice and get started, then I think they'll really have something. But, you know, if he doesn't get any touches and stuff, then we're back to, then it's like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah. I think Todd Monken did do a good job last year once Bateman got back to health of giving him some, you know, some layups early in games. But there weren't a lot of games where it was like the third or fourth quarter and those targets were still coming or the completions were still being made. So I have, you know, the utmost faith in Todd Monken being able to cook up some of those, you know, gimme plays for Rashad Bateman. But he's got to show that he's worthy of getting more and more of those down the stretch. And obviously, it's kind of interesting to read out of Chiefs camp that, you know, the downgrade from Legarius Sneed has been apparent. You know, there's one sure thing starter at that cornerback group in Trent McDuffie. He could play on the inside, he could play on the outside, so maybe that's a Mark Andrews matchup for him. But it doesn't really seem like there was a clear number two, clear number three in the rest of that cornerback room. And that should be good news for, say, Flowers, should be good news for Rashad Bateman. But, you know, if they can't get open because they couldn't get open in that AFC Championship game, then we're going to be talking for, you know, 1.5 weeks about, you know, woe is me for this wide receiver group.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, 6 days away from kickoff. What's going on the website? I'm sure a lot.
Yeah. Did 10 reasons the Ravens can win Super Bowl on Wednesday. Got 10 reasons the season could be a train wreck today. And just plenty of, you know, features, analysis, good stuff coming as the Ravens open up the locker room and we get a chance to talk to more of these guys today.
Jonas Schaefer, appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week, next Friday. Hopefully about a Ravens win. I predicted victory back when the schedule came out, but keep in mind, Jonas, I'm always wrong.
All right, guys. Thanks for
having me. Have fun at Owing Mills this weekend.
There's Jonas Schaefer, everybody. It's Vinny at 81.057. The Fan Whip Around coming up next. College football, big slate of games. We'll get into some of the highlights and scores related to the Big Ten and beyond. Huge upset, men's U.S. Open, and some cool stuff historically with the Orioles on this August 30th. In Kansas City, the Royals may have lost their closer and first baseman on the same play.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Featured Artist Friday, it's Black Sabbath, Ozzy, and Dio. So from that catalog, pick a song. Nolan will play it for you. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Orioles lose last night, 6-3 in Colorado. Talk about that later in the show with Mike Exisa from CBSSports.com. But college football last night, plethora of games, and we'll start with the top 25. Missouri 51-0 over Murray State. Missouri number 11. I think the Tigers one of these sleeper, yeah, watch out for them in the playoff teams.
There, yeah, I think they're a pretty good football team. I mean, Bob, there was one person I know picked them like to win the national championship. That's what they thought of them.
Possibly Utah 49 zip over Southern Utah there. The Utes are number 12 in the country. Got their quarterback returning to the lineup as well, dealing with some knee issues there. It was Kansas, number 22. 48-3 over, let's see, Lindenwood. Is that like a real school?
Yeah, that's in Missouri.
NC State, number 24 over West Carolina. 38-21. That was a game. Wolfpack pulled away in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the North Carolina State, they were struggling big time. I want to say that Western Carolina was up early.
Yeah, and into the second half, things got a little interesting there for sure. Cam Rising, by the way, is the name of the quarterback for Utah. Rising from the injury ashes that have cost them a couple of seasons in the Big Ten. Well, Minnesota lost to North Carolina in 1917. Mac's team gets off the ground with a win after an hour weather delay, but they lose their quarterback.
Yeah, Brad Johnson's son. Yeah, they lost him, and he just won the job like right at the end of camp. Now, Minnesota missed a field goal to win it at the end. So
not rowing boats, I guess, is P.J. Fleck.
No, P.J. Fleck was not rowing. I mean, that was a field goal game, kind of back and forth. So that was, I mean, when I was talking to Mel Kiper yesterday, Amarion Hampton, the running back, he thinks he's the first or second running back to go in the draft this year, and he had 129 yards for Carolina yesterday.
Rutgers 44-7 over Howard. That game was tight first half, and then Rutgers kind of blew him out, then added some window dressing stuff late. Illinois 45-0 over Eastern Illinois.
I didn't see any of that. Now, Rutgers, Bob, they've got some veteran offensive. They had some big hogs up there, and they were knocking Howard off the ball in the run game, but they said Howard's D-line was not good, and they weren't good.
Well, the marquee game, at least as ESPN had it, and it actually was a very entertaining thriller, was Colorado against North Dakota State. And the Buffaloes had to come from behind, but a duo we're going to be hearing about for a lot of years. Well, this year and certainly into the NFL. How about Sanders to Hunter? How about this?
A shotgun snap taken by Shadur, throws it right side. Travis Hunter reaches up, makes a spectacular grab. Touchdown! Touchdown, Colorado!
That was Colorado radio, Buffalo's radio, as you can tell. But 31-26, 10-point favorites. Didn't cover the spread, but North Dakota State, if you follow college football to any level, you know they're extremely powerful.
Yeah,
in that level, which is a notch below Division I. They're national championship contenders year in and year out. They've developed NFL players for sure, but you know the Buffaloes are going to have an offense. They didn't really run the ball all that great last night.
Did not.
Their defense is going to be a little bit shaky, it seems.
The thing that I would... North Dakota State is a veteran team and an experienced team, so they had the advantage there, whereas Colorado had 65 new dudes, you know, playing their first game at Colorado. That's going to help them a lot next week when they go... Colorado, I'm talking. When they go to Nebraska, Bob, because they've already got a game under their belt where this will be, you know, Nebraska will be going through some growing pains for the first game.
And they got Raiola, Nebraska, stud quarterback.
It'll be two fun quarterbacks to watch. Now, Shadur Sanders, Bob, I think he's a lot better than he was last year. Fundamentally, his footwork and stuff, extremely good.
And he's strong in the pocket, and yeah, he's mobile, and he can run if he has to. I mean, there's no denying that they're talented. Just don't question Dion or he'll ban you from your press conference.
Well, I saw the press conference after, and he said he started it out with there was 31 scouts here, and I think they got a chance to see what they wanted to see. You know, but then he said, you know, I'm so pissed that how we played. I am so mad, you know, that I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, poor Dion. If you could silence him, then you've really done something to piss him off. But anyway, they win. Maryland tomorrow taking on UConn. Game you can hear on the Fan. Terps 20.5-point favorites over Jim Morris Huskies. You can hear the game on 105.7 The Fan, and we'll talk about that later in the show with Dave LaMonaco from Terrapin Times. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around. U.S. Open men's tennis. Carlos Alcaraz, Wimbledon champion, number three seed. He lost to a number 74 ranked. And I'm going to do everything I can to pronounce this guy's name correctly, give him the props that he deserves. Botik Vanda Sansla.
Yeah. Nice. Where's he from?
I think he lives right up here on Old Pimlico Road. The Netherlands, if I'm not mistaken. But 74th seed knocks off a three seed. I mean, I don't know the history of tennis like that, but you know, ESPN can be into hyperbole. Made it sound like it was one of the greatest upsets in the history of tennis. Okay. So there you go. So Carlos Alcaraz. Bye-bye. This day in Orioles history, August 30th, 50 years ago today, Kansas City. Brooksy, 3-for-4, 2 ribbies. Enos Cabell drove in 2. Tommy Davis was 5-for-5. Mike Cuellar picks up his 16th win. Orioles on their way to the AL East, 9-2 over the Royals, 1983. Same venue, same team, different year, obviously. Cal Ripken, Kent Singleton, 1 yard. Rich Dower drove in 3. Storm Davis goes the route. 11-5 is his record. 12-4 final score. Orioles on their way to the World Championship. 2012, Nolan. Royal Park Cannon Yards. Not to make it all about me, I was at this game. It was an afternoon game. I just got my teeth pulled.
Oh.
So I was still convalescing a little bit. Sitting box seats there. Zach Britton had 10 Ks, 8 innings, starting pitcher for the Orioles. Taylor Teagarden and Adam Jones both went deep. The Orioles beat the White Sox 5-3. Jim Johnson picked up his 41st save. And then 10 years ago today, Oriole Park Cannon Yards, Jimmy Paredes went deep. Andrew Miller got the win. Zach Britton, now a closer, got his 30th save. Orioles on their way to the AL Eastern Division Championship and ALCS, beat the Twinkies 3-2. That was 10 years ago today. Current day, Orioles in Colorado taking on the Rockies. We'll talk baseball. Mike Axisa, CBSSports.com at 12:30. But when we come back, college football, they've already kicked it off. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. He's a very sharp and astute guy, and you're going to find out when you listen next here on The Fan. Another season, quarterback unsettled, offensive line not all that great. Some skill positions, you get the drill. Maryland trying to get back to the bowl and win a bowl game for 4 consecutive years. Not even Jerry Claiborne, Bobby Ross, and Ralph Friedgen accomplished that sort of stuff, but we'll see how it goes. Then again, they were playing in Cotton Bowls and Gator Bowls and Orange Bowls, but we're not trying to be picky, are we? College football has started here to talk about what he has seen so far, and it's very early, a plethora of games tonight, all through the weekend, into Labor Day from CBSSports.com. Let's welcome back for the first time since March Madness, Chip Patterson. Chip, what's up?
How we doing, gentlemen? Good to be back with you.
Appreciate the time as always. Let's look at the top 10 in the preseason polls before we get to the games that have already been played. If you were going to anoint an overrated team, Chip, based on rankings, who would it be right now in your eyes?
Well, I'm really glad that you framed it that way, because this is a team that I do like and I do think is very, very good. And that when I was asked to project my playoff bracket, I did include them because I think they're one of the 12 best teams in the country. But I am not ready to say that the Ole Miss Rebels are the 6th best team in the country. And the reason why I'm not ready to say that, and to, you know, give you an idea of, you know, where I draw the tiers in college football, Ole Miss last season in the regular season only had 2 wins against ranked opponents. One of them was against Tulane when the Green Wave had a backup quarterback, and one of them was against LSU in a 55-49 shootout, more like basketball on grass. When they played Alabama, when Ole Miss played Georgia, in those games, the Rebels were outclassed. They did not look like they were playing the same sport. Now, I know that Lane Kiffin has gone to the transfer portal and he's tried to beef up at the line of scrimmage. That is the narrative that they're selling. But I am in a show-me mode with Ole Miss, where, again, I think they're a top 12 team. But when you ask me to fill out my ballot for the CBS Sports 134 in the preseason, I'm going to throw Michigan ahead of Ole Miss. I'm going to throw Penn State ahead of Ole Miss. I'm going to throw programs that have had a little bit more staying power and a little bit more consistency than this Ole Miss team that in recent years loaded up with portal talent, beats down on the lesser opponents, but certainly has shown a gap from where they are to SEC championship contention. The good news for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss is that you don't need to be the SEC champion or in SEC championship contention to make the new college football playoff. So I think it'll be a big year. I like the squad. I'm just not ready to put them, again, ahead of some of those other teams in the top 10.
Now, talking about some teams that are ranked and have already played, Missouri, Utah in particular, both win by significant margins. Both teams shut out the opposition. Who do you have higher hopes for, the Utes or the Tigers here, Chip Patterson?
Okay, so I honestly haven't really gotten my hands on the Missouri game. There was no reason for me to have that on a main screen just because we know what they are. And you know, it's almost like in a game like that, if I'm paying attention, it means something's gone wrong, right? For Cam Rising, though, to get back out there and not only be fully healthy, but get out there, be really productive, have a big day, 5 touchdowns, that one got my attention. And because last year, what I think we saw with Kyle Whittingham's Utah program was the floor. And what I mean by that is that Utah not only didn't have Cam Rising, not only didn't they have their star tight end, Brant Keithy, they had multiple wide receivers that were out because of injury. They had to play a wide receiver at running back because of injuries there. They didn't have their best pass rusher. I mean, I can go on and on and on, but basically the way that I've looked at it is Utah had its you remember Dumb and Dumber, like our pets' heads are falling off?
Right.
Like Utah had its our pets' heads are falling off season. And you know what they still did? They went 8-4 in the regular season. That is the high floor of Utah football. Programs across America would love if their floor was 8-4. So with Rising back, with Keithy back, with the dominant win over Southern Utah to just get the blood pumping again, I think I was really excited to see that for Utah, a team that obviously is in the mix for the Big 12 title in their first year as a Big 12 member.
Well, they did tape the pet's head back on them.
Exactly.
Hey, Chip, what about Penn State, West Virginia? Because that's going to be, you know, it'll be an interesting game for Penn State going there because that'll be a loud, crazy crowd there.
Right, and game number one for the Drew Aller and that offense with a new offensive coordinator. Got a chance to speak to James Franklin at Big Ten Media Days. He was with us on the desk at CBS Sports Network for the Cover 3 podcast. And, you know, he thinks that Drew Aller has really not been treated fairly in terms of, you know, some of the punditry and the analysis. That for a player who had 25 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions, he's not looked at as the top tier of college football when 25-2 is one of the best touchdown to interception ratios we had in college football last year. My counter to that is that you didn't have the explosive plays down the field, and the inability to generate those explosive plays are one of the reasons why you were not able to get over on Ohio State, you were not able to get over on Michigan. And so you go and you hire Andy Kotelnicki. He had done a fantastic job at Kansas. The offense does create explosive plays. It does utilize a dynamic run game. So Penn State's offense, game number one in a new system with a new coordinator, your quarterback who's looking to take a step forward and prove the doubters wrong, and yet you're doing it in one of the most hostile environments. You know, I look at this game on paper. I think Penn State is a noticeably better team than West Virginia. I think that if this game was played in a vacuum, Penn State would win by 10 to 14 points. But college football is not played in a vacuum, and that game, that stadium is going to be the absolute Lee rocking. And so I'm really interested to see how Penn State handles the environment. Because again, I think they're the better team, but if they play down, if they're out of sorts here in week one, then they could be upset for sure.
Now, Chip, another place that's going to be rocking is tomorrow night, A&M. And Notre Dame's got 2 freshman O-linemen and, at left tackle and left guard, and then the right tackle's a new player too. So, and with that crowd noise also, and A&M's got a hell of a defensive line, how tough's it going to be for Notre Dame?
Oh, man, I'm obviously speaking to someone who knows, but for the audience who's not aware, the numbers that stand out to me are that the 5 offensive linemen on the depth chart for Notre Dame have 6 combined career starts. Again, 5 offensive linemen.
Sound like the Ravens.
6 combined career starts. And like you mentioned, they're going up against a defensive line that, this is a group that has never lacked for talent. in the Jimbo Fisher era. I mean, Shamar Stewart, Shamar Turner, DJ Hicks, these are blue chip bodies, blue chip talents. And then the real storyline that I think might show up in a big way is that they went and got a player from Purdue named Nick Scorton. He had 12 sacks last season. He was one of the best defensive linemen in the entire Big Ten. And you add him to a group that already was, you know, built out with SEC bodies. You have to pick your poison, and you've got a very inexperienced group for Notre Dame's offensive line to do that. Now, all that said, you do have a quarterback who I think is one of the best in the country at sack avoidance, because Riley Leonard, you know, coming over from Duke, he's got a big athletic body. He's able to shed tackles. It is hard to bring him to the ground, and he has done a great job throughout his career of when pass rush comes. And look, it came at a place like Duke. I mean, they had Graham Barton, a few other good offensive linemen, but that is not a group that physically overwhelms teams at the line of scrimmage. He needed to use that mobility then. He is definitely going to need to use that mobility at Texas A&M. The question mark for me in the matchup, and I truly mean this as a question mark, is Texas A&M's offense, because I believe Notre Dame's defense has NFL players on it. I think Al Golden does a great job with that group, and it's going to be difficult to move the ball unless Texas A&M has either Connor Wegman or somebody else step up and be special. So I've got Texas A&M winning the game in terms of my prediction for it, but I acknowledge that if there's a flaw in that logic of how difficult it's going to be for Notre Dame to go into Kyle Field on a Saturday night in week one, the flaw would be, well, Texas A&M needs to score points too.
Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. You mentioned Cover 3. Tell our audience, Chip, what you got going on as college football is here. We're playing games, literally.
I mean, gentlemen, hey, when is Cover 3 not rolling? Right? I mean, like, so right now, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern time on YouTube is when we go live. You can download it wherever you get your podcast. We also are on CBS Sports Network on Tuesdays at 2 p.m., and then you catch us Saturday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, live for our instant reaction show to all the day's biggest games and our observations. So almost every day of the week, you've got some live Cover 3 and then available on demand wherever you get your podcast.
Chip Patterson, always great to catch up with you. Next time we'll talk. You said pets are falling off heads in Utah and Clemson. They're losing legs and limbs and heads and everything after Georgia gets done with them. Chip, enjoy the weekend of football. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chip.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
All right, Chip Patterson, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Take a quick trip through the funhouse, then news from the nest. We're going to hear from Eric DaCosta. We're going to count that weekend money, holiday weekend money at that, buy or sell. Mike Exesa, talk baseball with him. Who wants that American League East Championship? Who's got the capabilities to win it? CBS Sports and the Royals. Catastrophic injuries on the same play last night. We'll get into that too. 410-583-1057 is the number. News from the nest, top of the hour. Mike Exesa talking baseball, 12:30. And then our picks, 12:45, yes, and it's for alcohol. Boy, I could really crack. Anyway, let's go to Kai. Bring in Kai there, my frozen. Kai in Reisterstown. Kai, what's up?
Vinny, Haney, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
I hope the surgery went well for you, Bob. And Vinny, I hope you're doing well with your situation, because I heard you say the other day somebody actually died. I couldn't hear who you said, but somebody
Joe
died.
Dallas Joe Sanders.
Joe D.
Joe D. I don't know who that is, but
the old, yeah. Ravens O-line coach.
Oh yeah, yeah, Ravens O-line coach. Wow, yeah. So I'm glad both of you guys doing good, man. But Bob, I haven't got a chance to talk to you about that fight. I was right on that fight, man. I won a few pennies off of it.
Oh, you were what? You had the one card, but like every fight you picked correctly. Pitbull lost, and all the fun stuff that went along with it. You were Nostradamus that day, Kai. So tip of the cap to you.
I was shocked that Jared Anderson, the rising star, was KO'd, though, man.
He got beat down. Beat down bad.
He got beat down, man. You know what? I think that humbled him, and I think he'll be back. But watch out. Look out for the kid, Abdullah Mason, too, man. He's coming, Bob.
Okay.
You get a chance, check him out. Abdullah Mason, man. Now, on to the Ravens. Vinny, oh, I'm so excited, but I'm moving with such optimism right now, because I feel like I always put unrealistic expectations on my Ravens because I'm a fan. But I'm looking at the team and I'm listening to you guys every day and I'm like, look, man, I think as far as defensively, we don't have the pass rushers, but we got so many defensive backs and they kept them. So I'm thinking like sacks by the backs. Maybe we come out with a pancake, sacks by the backs. I think we have a lot of sacks. And you know what? Hamilton, he can play up by the line.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think, Vinny, and you out there, Vinny, offensively, because the Chiefs come into town. I mean, well, we're going to see the Chiefs. And you know what? It seems like Andy Reid have our number. Do you think we'll see a lot of, like, heavy packages in the beginning because we have Derrick Henry, and you guys talk about the offensive line, and they not. I don't think they are Pro Bowl caliber except for our center. So how do you think we're going to move as far as the offense, man, like heavy packages and quick slants? And because it seems like the Ravens, we don't have an identity, man. We don't. You bring Derrick Henry in, right? But you got a bad offensive line. Mm-hmm. What does that spell right there, man? As a GM, what does that spell right there?
Trouble.
It spells trouble. It spells Lamar put everything on your back, and then when Lamar run for 60 yards or throw for this or that, everybody get down on him when he throw the interception. I think Lamar needs to take over, Vinny. And you know what? It spells trouble, but we still have a good defense. So I'm confused in the whole damn thing because last year I'm still pissed off that they didn't take advantage of what they had. I know we got to move on from that, but what are we going to do different, and what do we have different now? Are we going to implement Likely and the tight ends? Because if you can't block, you can't throw the damn ball. So what are we going to do, Vinny? Please tell me. I'm confused right now.
I think the pressure on –
have a great weekend.
You know, the two most important guys offensively, especially in this first game, is Lamar and Todd Monken, because Todd Monken has got to take into consideration – my offensive line. I think we're going to see a lot of run-pass option stuff. I think we're going to see play-action pass on first down, taking shots. And I think we're going to see quick throws. And run game, I don't know. I just, anything wide, I think, is going to be really tough. And running to the right side, I think, is going to be difficult. So I'm anxious. I can't wait till next Friday. You know, a week from today, because we'll have seen what happened last night, and then we'll get a really good chance to talk about it and have a good feel for what's coming.
I seem to remember Harbaugh saying that Steve Spagnuolo had a magic potion, magic formula that the Ravens could not overcome. Talking about why they didn't run the ball as much as they should have in the AFC Championship game.
I just think it's going to be...
Spags.
Well, I think it'll be much more difficult this year unless a run-pass option and Lamar's... And Lamar may be the leading rusher in the game for the Ravens Thursday night.
Well, is that a good or bad thing? If it's a win, you take it.
Yeah.
Get your W on the road.
I just don't want him getting hit a lot. Just because if... Bob, I'm telling you, if he was sitting right here, you'd be like, damn, what happened to the rest of you?
Yeah, but if he's the leading rusher, is that because he's just running for his life? Or is that a design thing from Todd Monken? I guess we can look at it two different ways.
I think that'll be more the run-pass option. Well, if that's the case, Bob, and he's running it to run it, we're going to think we're back with Greg Roman.
There you go. Or even our boy Marty, because Marty was the one calling in plays in 2018. It's Vinny at 80. 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back here for Eric DaCosta. News from the Nest as he met with the media yesterday. We're going to count that holiday weekend money. It's Labor Day on Monday. And buy or sell Mike Exisa. Talk baseball as September looms. And then we're going to get into picks as we look at the headlines of college football. And we're going to start our pick segment for booze, wine for Vinny, beer for me and Nolan. Vinny's won 2 years in a row. Nolan, we have to put a stop to this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.